Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with such a beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for the perfect weather. And thank you for giving us that which we needed all throughout this week to get us to this Sabbath. Even the trials, as difficult as they sometimes are, thank you for teaching us how to go through them with smiles. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And please bridle my tongue and any tongue that speaks today so that you alone are being glorified. And thank you for your presence that is promised to be among us when we gather. And if we are so worthy, Father, please bless us with the latter rain. We want to be in that final generation, and it appears we might just be there, but we don't know the day or the hour, and so thank you for giving us the courage and the discernment and the wisdom and the faith necessary to live the days that are coming ahead, because we already see Christians are pretty much hated now. And so thank you for the prophetic word that gives us an understanding as to what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know, we don't need to know the day or the hour. We just need to know we got to get ready. And so thank you for blessing us with that and blessing all the workers and all the work that's being done. Thank you for answering a prayer there too, because there's just a lot of workers, and we thank you so much for that. And please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I want to welcome everybody. Sabbath blessings again. Everybody on the radio and everybody on the phone. And everybody that's going to be listening to this sermon later on today, or rather tomorrow. Well, I'm sorry, next Sabbath. That's right. Or even during the week, because I know there's a lot of people out there doing that now. And I praise God for that. Because we literally have thousands of people all around the world that believe the way we do now. And we just don't know most of them by name. You know, we have almost 1,000 just doing the work. We got like 890-something. I don't know. One was a little... Let me just check real quick. Because I just updated it this week, the Loud Crier page. See, Prophecy of Today. Yeah, there it is, Loud Crier. We have 294 people in all the other nations of the world, and 600, right on the nose, 600 here in the United States. So that's 894 altogether. And but that's not counting the people that never, you know, tell us they're doing work. They just, you know, I only count the ones that ask for permission to use the tracks and the stuff. I don't know why they ask for permission, but some people do. And that's good. And so praise the Lord. And what I also notice, whenever the weather gets nice, our numbers go down. Ever notice that? It's because a lot of people don't want to go outside in the winter, and so they come here for Sabbath. And please pray for them, because they may be going into SDA churches and stuff like that because they crave fellowship. Because we know there's a lot of them out there that... are part of our... I know when we first started doing this with the new software, we were always in the 80s and lower 90s. And now we're... I think we hit the 60s, and that's about... But then again, you know, a lot of people are going to the radio and phone and stuff like that, too. But I know, when the weather's nice, you can actually keep Sabbath and have a sermon out in the woods, which I'd like to do soon. I'm going to get a fuzzy mic. You know, want something to cover up, to cover, to prevent the wind. Because out here, I'm in the windiest county of Indiana. And like today, it's real nice and windy out there. So, anyway, we are on question number 8 of lesson 31. There's 33 lessons, but I noticed the website doesn't have the 33rd one on there. I got to dig it up somewhere. If somebody has a copy of it, let me know and email it to me or something. Because I'm in my own private studies, you know, to put all the notes and the extra verses and stuff like that. I'm already on question number two of lesson 32, which means I'm falling behind. I'd like to be at least 20 ahead. I'm only about 12 pages or 12 questions ahead, I think. I can't remember exactly what it is. Anyway, we're on question number 8 now, lesson 31, and the lesson is All Religions Unite, for those of you listening on the radio, which is more or less today's world, when all the religions unite. And this study was printed many, many, many years ago. I don't even know exactly when. I just know that we got the okay from the author to actually use it, because we found it to be very good. As a matter of fact, this is the one that we used years ago as a baptism study before we'll, you know, baptize anybody. I know there's a lot of churches out there that don't do that, and most, and I don't know if the SDA church still does it, because I know they're getting pretty bad now with a lot of their corruption. It's getting very much like the Catholic Church. But I won't baptize anybody that doesn't do these studies, because twice now, someone has approached me, asked for baptism at the last minute while we were doing a baptism at a you know, retreat or a gathering or whatever. And twice those persons did not keep their promise to finish the studies, and both eventually left the faith. So baptism is important. And since we don't have the ability, being an online church, to go and visit people on a regular basis, like every week, like a brick and mortar kind of a pastor would do, we have to do it this way. And even in the New Testament, you could see Philip approaching the eunuch when the Holy Spirit moved him to go over there and explain to him what he was reading in Isaiah. And then, of course, they traveled a while on the road, and he confirmed face to face and figured out, yeah, this guy understands. And so he baptized him pretty quick. Different world back then, though, too. So anyway, the question, number 8, is the inhabitants of the earth have become drunk with what? And Revelation 17, verse 2 says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Oops. Okay. All right, well, the study notes this by saying, in Matthew 9, verse 17, Jesus used the figure of wine to refer to teachings or doctrines. The wine of Revelation 17, 2, being fermented, would indicate false or corrupt doctrines. And that's why the word drunk is being used here. You can't get drunk on new wine. New wine is a cluster of the grape, as it says in the scripture. And that's what Jesus used at the Last Supper. Even though people attack me left and right on, that's why I made a video and did a Q&A thing on the Easy Facts page. That was one of my first Q&A kind of pages. Now we just have the Q&A of Sabbath's Past, because I just want to put it all there in one location instead of jumping all over the site. Eventually, I'll delete the Easy Facts page. Well, no, maybe I shouldn't, because I'll delete it from the menu, but the link I'll let hot. I'll let it remain hot, because I refer to it on other pages, and so I don't want them to... Well, I can always redirect, but anyway. So, look around today, and what do you see in all the churches that confirm all the world wonders or follows and obeys the beast of Rome? You know, the one that has the drunken wine of fornication. All of the churches, and this includes the Ninth Hour Church, hold worship services on Sunday. As a matter of fact, is tomorrow Easter? Does anybody know? Is tomorrow the date of Easter? It is. Okay. All right. So I know for a fact that not only will the SDA Church have an Easter service, even though in their infancy they understood the dangers of this so-called holiday or holy day, they'll have a sunrise service. I saw a video years ago. I could not believe it. It looked like a bunch of Roman Catholics. They had the purple silk hanging from the ceiling all over the place. You know how the Catholic Church puts that purple silk on a big wooden cross during the Lenten season of the pagan? In purple, of course, being the prophetic color of obedient unto death, and because blue is obedience, red is death, you put them together, obedient unto death, and that's why they had that purple robe on Jesus to mock him, even though they didn't realize what they were doing, as they when they were beating him and telling him, guess who hit you, kind of a thing. And so, but I saw this video, and there it was all real dark, and they had incense burning all over the place, candles, Catholic candles were all over the place, and I thought, this has to be a Catholic service, and then it turned out it was an SDA service. And they were sitting around on lounge chairs and beanbags, and it was, I'm going to try and find that video. I don't think I linked it out on my Easter page, because I have a page on the site that exposes Easter. But just to make it simple and easy for those of you that are new to the truth here, be it you in the room here or on the radio or on the phone, a lot of people have a hard time understanding this because they look at Easter and even Christmas as big, high, holy days for Christianity when both of them are just pagan. And you could prove it with both pretty easy with Christmas. I mean, it's just literally drenched in all sorts of pagan ritual. And I do have a page on the site that it just never stops growing. It's just huge with all this stuff that we keep discovering about Christmas rituals. But Easter, a lot of them don't realize this. Other than, you got the Easter bunny, which is a symbol of fertility in the pagan church. The Easter egg, which is also the symbol of fertility. But the bunny is used because of the promiscuity of it all, because they have their, well, let's just call them games during Easter week. Like what the teenagers are led to do now, they call it Easter week. And they have all these games. They actually broadcast these games, flesh games, let's call them, on MTV. They started doing that decades ago when MTV first came out. I couldn't believe. And they would, of course, fuzz out the screen, but they were actually allowing things to happen in broad daylight that were crimes, when it comes to certain vulgarities. I mean, because you can get arrested if you walk through a town without any clothes on. Well, this is, But anyway, the easiest way to respond to it all is you could just tell anybody that's curious, this is, about Easter. And this is, don't you believe it's the day that Jesus resurrected? And I said, no. Nothing to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ at all. If it did, then why does the date change every year? Because it's just like, let's say we celebrated birthdays, which most of us don't, myself included. And how well do you think it would be if somebody came, like say if you celebrated your birthday on, May 1st, somebody came up to you on January 15th and said, happy birthday, and they hand you some. It's not my birthday. Well, who cares? Here. Yeah. It's not your birthday. Well, it's just like with Christmas. It's not the birth of Christ either, but they celebrate it anyway as if it is, and it isn't his birthday. He was born in the fall. And Easter, though, here's an easy way to get around this, because Rome tried to fix this many, many years ago. Actually, when I first started online, I had a thing, and I actually was on the radio about this, too. They were trying to push for ways to change our calendars again so as to make Easter in a fixed date. But they found it to be absolutely impossible because of what Easter is really based on, which is the phases of the moon. In other words, ask a pagan and ask a Catholic priest, why does the date of Easter change? Or, why does it change every year? And they both tell you the same thing. Easter is based on the first full moon of spring. The following Sunday will be Easter. Check your calendars, everyone. Seriously, use your computers. Go back in time. You'll see every time there's a full moon in the first full moon of spring, the very next Sunday is Easter. And they can calculate this in advance now because it's not that hard now. So they're wondering after the beast as well. They have gotten literally blind, staggering drunk on Catholicism. And so all the churches, and this includes the Ninth Hour Church, are going to hold worship services on Sunday. I mean, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has an awful lot of Sunday-keeping churches already. As a matter of fact, I got a page on the website where I have 17 links from that page. I haven't updated in a while, but one of the links has dozens listed in it that show Sunday keeping Willow Creek associations that was actually formed by the Jesuits in tune with Bill Clinton to get with Bill Hybels. And that became obvious during the Lewinsky affair because Hybels tried to act like he was, Clinton's spiritual advisor. And so Clinton kept having these meetings with him, and they were using the Monica Lewinsky thing to say this is why he's meeting with him. But no, it wasn't. It was to lock down the mega churches so as to have better control over the people. because they are going to pass religious law. It's prophesied. It's going to happen. So, to give you an idea of how spiritual, this thing here, like with the Christmas, the Easter, the Valentine's Day, or other pagan feast days, or I mean, all of them are now celebrating the 40 days or the 40-day fast of Lent. They all declare a seven-year tribulation. They all say that, well, except for the SDAs. They all say eternal life in hell, fire, immediate life after death, 1,000 years of peace on earth, Allah is God, homosexual marriage is okay, and sanctified by God, just to name a few. And the SDA Church does do those last two. But to give you an idea of how spiritually insane some have become, I actually heard a so-called prophet declare on a video that was sent to me years ago that homosexuality is a gift from God. And he stated that on camera on the Oprah Winfrey show. And for those of you that want the link, I will put it in the text chat later if you want it. Just ask me the actual video where he says this. He's the guy with the dreadlocks that ran down his back, and he claims to be a prophet, even though the Bible says long hair is a shame on the man. Because the one with the longer hair in the family is the head of not the head of the house. You know, that's how it went. Especially 2,000 years ago. And he only stated what he stated because he wanted to be on the same page and do the ecumenical hug on screen with the Episcopalian minister who said it first on air. So, they stated that intoxicating wine of Roman theology back in January of 2009. This is how long ago this was. That's 8 years ago, yeah. And then 4 years later, as is usually the case, because even though Rome embraces this, they cannot be the first to say it publicly. They just can't do it. It's just like when they say, because I put a page on the website called Rome Denies Jesus or Rome Says Jesus Isn't the Lord. I can't remember exactly, but they have to push that out there so they could bring Allah in and Muhammad. But they can't be the first to put it out there. Because these guys say it first, just like when Billy Graham first said, you don't need Jesus to gain salvation. And then after he said it, Robert Schuller said it. And then after Robert Schuller said it, then you got three popes that say it. Same thing. And that's why I built that page, because they can't say it first, because then it makes them look bad. They got to let the Protestants, so-called Protestants. And it was, of course, Kenneth Copeland jumped on the bandwagon with this Pentecostal thing, But a Roman Catholic priest said homosexuality was a gift from God as well, and after presenting his demonic doctrine to the present Jesuit Pope Francis, he actually bowed on camera and kissed his hand in worship, declaring his evil statement to be sanctified by God. And I've got the pictures for that too. So notice this also. When we as the remnant of the seed stand firm in the truth, those that walk with the fallen churches will do all they can to try and lure us off the path. This is also why literally billions are now in bed with Rome, because the tactic works, but only on the weak ones who refuse to obey the Lord when someone in their church openly embraces sin, let's say. And this is why I praise the Lord for the way this church works. We actually do it by the book. And Satan has his people all over this planet, and he most assuredly has them standing in line to get to those of us that seek to stand firm in the Lord. And in fact, we as a church family have seen drunken souls in our number more than once over the years. And yes, this is why when their attempts to get us to follow their lead fails, they show the true character of Satan, who gets very angry and when we overcome his lies. And so he moves his followers to leave our number, but not until he can get them to cause a big scene so as to not only declare we are all in sin for not going along with their worldly ways. It's also done so some of the weak among us, the new ones, because Satan always knows they're there. He keeps watching us. But he does it so that some of the weak ones will have their heartstrings tugged on when a cherished brother or like a new cherished brother or new sister, because they're babes in Christ, when they leave the church, they can't, imagine being away from them because they made such tight friends with them. And if it doesn't happen right off, those that leave us will make sure their claims to be true Christians will be advertised for months in the hopes of luring some out of the church as well. And as a matter of fact, I just got word the other day, one that attacked our church family, even in video, and wanted to infiltrate our church family years ago. And he actually admitted it on video and then posted it on YouTube and then got caught. Him and his two friends, three. They're back at it again. We just had a young man leave the church family that was a deacon, not the one that was from America, the other one. And now he was lured into join with that other guy. And so they'll wait. They don't care as long as you. And that's always what happens. The ones that leave actually end up joining with those that have left. And the reasons they leave us are just as strange as that so-called prophet on Oprah, who claimed that homosexuality was a gift of God, because any sin embraced by a lost soul who claims to still be a Christian is openly declaring God sanctified their sin. They're literally drunk on the wine of her fornication. They can't see what we see because they're drunk. For example, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a drunk? Okay, that today's world, that's a no-brainer. Everybody probably. Or have you known a drunk personally? You know, I had a few buddies. As a matter of fact, one just died 10 or so years ago from his alcohol issue. And I used to drink. And I know for a fact that after getting a few drinks in you, your mind changes drastically. This is why, by the way, that alcohol was called spirits over 100 years ago. Because the people back then noticed how quickly they would go from being moral Christians to fleshed, crazed fiends. When you drink, you are granting Satan much more control over you than you can even imagine. And when he does this, you begin to think certain sinful things are no longer that bad to commit. Because he doesn't think they're that bad. He wants you to think the same way. And this is why the Lord uses the prophetic symbol of fermented wine for a false doctrine and drunkenness for those that embrace it. Because they simply don't think straight spirituality anymore. Just like a drunk, can't walk a straight line. So this Babylonian wine of fornication is so toxic that we have even had people declare us to be a cult because we refused to drink our own urine years ago. Remember that? We had some people that were part of our number, and they actually wanted us to drink that, saying it was really good for you. It's a waste product. Are you kidding? This is how far away they can get from the truth. Some declared us a cult because our women refused to wear men's clothing. And they're still doing it. One just did it the other day, I heard, on Facebook. Again, slamming us. And they haven't been here in years. We're a cult by some because we refuse to smoke or chew tobacco. We're a cult because we refuse to worship Ron Wyatt. Or even declare Jesus isn't God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist at all. And all these people that left our number due to some rather shocking sins that their drunken stupor cannot comprehend as being dangerous, they all still claim to be Christians because Satan wants them to remain complacent in his trophy case. They have to keep claiming Jesus as Lord so he can use them to get more Christians to join them. Some have even stepped back into Sunday-keeping churches after declaring us a cult. Because this is how the wine of Babylon is being embraced, simply because as Noah and his family saw in their day, it's because of all the believers are doing it. And so much, it's not that bad anymore. They call themselves believers anyway. And yes, just as we see how difficult it is for a drunk to quit drinking alcohol, it's just as difficult for someone drunk on the Rhine of Rome to sober up spiritually. And so please pray for those that were with us in the truth at one time and for those that have yet to join. Many of them are zealous for the Lord and a threat to Satan, and so he's going to do all he can to keep them drunk. And that's why, and see, this is something I've always noticed, and this is really always sad in my heart, when I see people that have a strong zeal for the Lord, and he can use them in a mighty way, and they even have the intelligence and the diction and the ability to do things, even financially. And all of a sudden, they go off on this tangent or this strange theology. Like, take, for example, World's Last Chance. And I'm bringing this guy up for a reason, because I do think some of us in the church family have to, you know, like to team up on something like this. Because I just noticed the other day, actually, yesterday I think it was, I put in SDA space apostasy in Google or in YouTube or something like that. And I just like to see how the truth is being out there in regards to getting people out of danger. I mean, we know what we're doing with the Protestant churches that call themselves Protestants. But we should target a little more the Seventh-day Adventists, because they're like 90% on the right page. They can be easily moved into the truth, and you know that will help us bring even more souls from all the other churches in too as well. But I noticed this, you know, this World's Last Chance guy who makes his money I mean, no one knows about this, how he actually makes his money. He's a billionaire. And it has to do with Avon and selling the same stuff that Jezebel used to paint her face, as well as the toys that so-called married couples do behind closed doors. They're selling that now on Avon as well. But he's got all this strange theology now. And it would be nice if some of us teamed up and started posting statements and putting links in all the World's Last Chance videos on YouTube, because he's getting tens of thousands of hits now. People that believe like we do are being lured away because they think he's a believer like us, because he used our Antichrist characteristics of Antichrist page to start his ministry. And so he's pulling the people in with the truth, but once he gets them there, he tells them the earth is flat, Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, and the Sabbath changes each week with the phases of the moon. And people are falling for this folderol. And so I just thought I'd bring that up, because it really irked me yesterday when I saw that one video got 10,000, one video got 50, one video's got 100,000 hits. And we're getting a paltry 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Well, sometimes we'll get some good numbers when we get, you know, really strong videos, but it's really sad. So if we were to put, because I know for a fact, I don't know how many emails I've gotten, and I should start storing them, from people that have left that ministry when they realized the truth about it. I've got a page on the site that exposes him about him actually being a false prophet. He declared that Ratzinger was going to die, and then John Paul II was going to resurrect and be the Antichrist. He was going to be the Messiah. He literally put the pictures down. The Lord told me to copy that page and put it off to the side, because it wasn't going to happen. Sure enough, Ratzinger didn't die, or Benedict, as they changed their names, just like Hollywood does, because they mock. Me and Fran were talking about this earlier. They changed their names because the Lord named them in the womb. So they take away the name that the Lord gave them, and come. They take the name that Satan gives them instead. And so, if we could just pull just a few people out, you know, we're saving soul. We're helping them find out that they're drunk on the wine of Rome's fornication. And this is literally what they're preaching. And now I'm going to look a little bit deeper into this. Something hit me this morning as Fran and I were talking about this. But I'm convinced that the owner of World's Last Chance, Galel Doss, is still, I'm thinking he's a Muslim. And the reason I say that is because the Quran says the earth is flat. The Quran says Jesus isn't God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. And I wonder if they also say they have a weird thing about the lunar Sabbaths and stuff. I wonder. Right, that's why I want to dig into that, too. Because Galel Doss is Egyptian. He lives in Egypt. And so, but again, if, you know, because I'm thinking, I've already started doing it. I've already, like, whenever I come across a WLC video on YouTube, I put some information in there and let them know he's already been a confirmed false prophet. And look out for these false doctrines. So, because since this question or this study today is about the wine of fornication, that, you know, Rome is it. I mean, that and what these false preachers and teachers are doing are more or less just echoing what Rome would have them echo. And that's what, you know, World's Last Chance does, the SDA Church does, and all the Protestant churches do it. And so I thought, you know, why not bring it up here with this question? Because I didn't even know what today's question was about. It just happened to be what Fran and I were talking about earlier in regards to that World's Last Chance. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.